Almighty God. They're simply waiting here for You to minister to us. There is a servant of Yours here this evening that has been willing to address this topic, this burning passion in his life. And Lord, I pray that You would just pour out Your Spirit once again in a powerful and a mighty way. Lord, You have been visiting us so well here. We've been so richly fed. And Lord, I just pray once again, Your blessing on the Word of God as it comes to us, that be with power and authority, because it is the Word of God, as we've been hearing. Bless our brother David. Father, I just pray that You would touch his tongue. Loosen his tongue, Lord. Open his mouth, his mind, to be able to think clearly and to speak well. The mysteries of the everlasting gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. May You be much glorified, Heavenly Father. And we thank You. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Thank You, brother. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is with us, and we're so thankful for that. And it is a blessing to be here, and it's a blessing to have each of you here, even though there's some not here that's here every year, but not this year. And I could be wrong, but I don't think there's anybody here from Canada, is there? I think the Canada line is shut again. Am I correct in that? I heard they closed her back up again. And it's very normal to always have some people from Canada here. And of course, Brother Dale Heisey from Costa Rica could not get up here neither. So here we are. But we are thankful for every one of you. And I don't need to say a lot what our brother just said about the type of meeting this is, but it's very good. The Spirit here is good for us in various places from many different various congregations and churches. And I think as we get closer to the end of time, we're going to need each other more than we have in the past, in our communities and back and forth in between. I don't think when we get to heaven, he's going to pin us down to exactly the name of our church and our conference and who it was. And no, that's not going to be such an important thing. I'm not saying that don't have nothing to do. But brother, we need each other. And as things get rougher, and persecution comes, and the end comes here, we do need each other, and we are thankful that we can be together during these meetings here. Thank you, each one, for being here. God bless you tonight, and keep you in the Word of God. I appreciate much the messages that were given in the last 2 days, all day yesterday, and all day today. The messages that we heard, and the variety of those ministers and the differences that we have had is just such a blessing to the congregation here, how God has used them tremendously to feed our souls, to inspire us, and to draw us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we had a message here on Monday night. I know a amount of you were here, but I know you were not all here on Monday night. And that was about Jacob, there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21, in the faith chapter, where Jacob, right before he died, who can tell me how old he was? 147 years old. I don't know if there's too many people here half that old, is there? What is that, 76, 7? I'm not sure. We have some here more than that. But that was his age. And he laid his hands on those two grandsons, those sons of Joseph. And that verse that they gave me to, I did not choose that voice, and I didn't choose this topic tonight either. That was appointed me and assigned me, and we sang that there that evening, or preached about that evening. But there was a few items that I failed on Monday evening, because I don't always remember things like I should. What does Jacob's name mean? Someone tell me. He's a supplanter. That's right. Or a heel catcher. You can find that if you look his name up in the Old Testament language. A heel catcher and a supplanter. That's what his name means. Yes, bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, that is the Hebrew language, Jacob. But when we get to the Greek language, is what the New Testament is written in, what was his name there? Who can tell me that? Now, I want to tell you this, not the meaning, the name. Now, the word Jacob is mentioned in the New Testament because it's a Hebrew word using it. But when you switch Jacob to the Greek language, it's another name, and you all know that name. Who?
James.
That's right. James. James and Jacob's the same name. The only difference is Jacob is the Hebrew word, and James is the Greek word. And how many James do we have in the New Testament?
James, the brother of Jesus.
That's one.
James
the Less. That's another. Now, I thought you'd talk about the first important one first.
Jesus' brother.
No. Who? That's right. James, the brother of John, the first couple of disciples called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. There, you got three Jameses in the New Testament book. And which James was crucified or put to death by Herod? Which one of them three? That's right. The son of Zebedee, the brother of John. James and John were brothers. Zebedee's sons, and he's the one that was put to death there in the book of Acts. You can write about that, so you can. Now, who wrote the book of James? Which one of them wrote the book of James? We heard about that a little bit this afternoon, the book of James. Who wrote that book? That's right, the brother of Jesus wrote that book, but you know, it does not say it. Now, wouldn't you think when he wrote that, he would have certainly put, I'm the Lord of the brother, of Jesus our Lord. But it doesn't say that. Now, if you look it up, his name, which James that was, I most all will tell you, that was Jesus' brother. There are a few people that do disagree with that being the James, but he is the one. And one of the reasons they disagree with him is, you can read from St. John's Gospel. I have it written down somewhere. I thought I had it written down here in my paper, but I don't. I want to say it's chapter 5, verse 6. A brother of Jesus, the brother of Jesus, who was James, was not a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not. You can read it there. In St. John chapter 5, verse 6, I think is the verse where it says he was not a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. But somewhere along the line, he became a believer, and he wrote the book of James. What was that? I thought I heard something there. Well, there's a lot of information. Some of you brethren, like this brother that preached here this afternoon and the brother this morning that knows history a whole lot better than I do and gets in there and reads it, that can find out a lot of things about those people. Just like the man Luke. We talked about him one evening here. Brother Luke is the only writer of the New Testament and is not a Jew, but he is a Gentile. And Luke, it is said, never was married, but he was put to death at age 84. He was crucified and martyred for Jesus Christ at the age of 84. That's Luke, the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can read about a lot of those Jameses that did live and how they went through there in the New Testament. I know we probably have some Jameses here this morning. Some of you people are James as well. Now, our text here this evening is called, I didn't choose this subject or assign it myself, but it was given to me, so I thought I'll try and do what I can. It is avoiding burnout while being poured out. That's our text for tonight. Avoiding, that is one word you will find in the Bible a couple of times. But you will not find burnout in the Bible, James Version. And you won't feel, you can find a little bit of being poured, but not like this, not poured out. In the scriptures in which we are reading. So that's what we want to talk about here this morning, or this evening. Avoiding burnout. Now, burnout means, in your dictionary, you'll find that in your dictionary, that word, exhaustion of one's physical and emotional strength. That's what it means. The exhaustion of one's physical or emotional strength. That's what it is. Burned out. That word burned out is when one's just about done with what he's doing and he can't handle it anymore and he's done. He's burned out. It's a term we use in our English language. So it is. Being burned out. I don't know if you have ever been burned out in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're supposed to avoid that. Our first word tonight in our text is to avoid being burnt out while you are being poured out. So we will talk about both of those things this evening, about being poured out and also about being burned out while you're poured out. We all know if we're not poured out, we don't need to worry about getting burned out because we're lazy and don't do anything. But if we're poured out to the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the ministry of the gospel in our churches or wherever it might be, wherever we are, like our brother said tonight, he remembers that little phrase. I learned that from my mother, brother. She's the one that lived in Jamaica as a missionary for 17 years, and she had that putting on the fridge. You do not become a missionary by crossing the sea. You become a missionary by seeing the cross. That's where it was. And many people do that, and many people were poured out. That brother told you where he was already, I believe it was this morning. And many other people are not here this evening because they're in other states or countries or places to be a missionary for the Lord Jesus Christ. They are being poured out for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering in of souls of men and women. That's what's important. Before it's eternally too late to pour out our substance to pour out for the Lord Jesus Christ, especially for those who are not saved. And when we do that, this text here tonight says, if you don't watch it, if you're not careful, you can get burned out. You can get so need to keep pouring that you just can't do it anymore. That's what he's talking about. And I believe there'll be a lot more people lists to come here and visit this program. And some do, some years, and not other years. But you know, I had people often say, yep, I'm coming. But when it comes right to it, they don't make it. They do not make it. They cannot do it. Why? Because they are too poor, either in their church condition, their family conditions, their labors in their work, that condition, or maybe health, the mission could be it, and maybe there's some other things. And that's all right. But brothers, sometimes we just got too much poured in this life. Now, being poured out is God's will for our life and our ministry. That's God's will for us. Now, the phrase, being poured out, can sometimes be too much involved in church work. And when that happens, and neglect family responsibilities, and also sometimes our work ethics. In Jones chapter 3, verse 20, you might not have thought about this on this here, but it says, their fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. That can cause a stress to us, which can bring us burnout. Especially when our children feel we are too busy in what we're doing, and we do not even take care of ministering to them until it's too late. And sometimes when that happens to some of our children, I have seen people, they got burned out. They just couldn't do it. They had to quit. I mean, it just did not work too good. And they realized after, oh, yes, I wish I'd have gave more attention to my children than I did. And that is very, very important. And I had 7 children. My youngest one's, he's 33 years old. That's how old he is. My youngest child is that old. And I told you this a night or two before here, while we were here. But I believe I know better now how I should relate to my children and my... But that's important, that we bless our children, pray for our children, talk to our children. That is very, very important. Now, 1 John 2:15, you all know what that scripture is. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. It says there, a mix between both can cause a person to be burned out. But he makes it clear that we are not to be in favor of the devil and all the things of this world. Another thing that can happen there is not a spiritual proper evaluation of keeping our level of value in biblical order. That's very important. It's who do we like? Who is most important in our life? And sometimes we say, oh, it's not the world, not me. You know, it's not the world. I love God more than I do this world. But I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. And I can't tell you any better than you people are. But there's a lot of things about the world that I've been very interested in all my life. And I mean, because of that, I let some of that go deeper than what I should have had. Yes, I did. Yeah, so that is very, very important. Now, Jesus says something over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, I think is very important, verse 24. He says, no man can serve two masters. That's very important. No man can serve two masters. What do you think of that? How are you in that one? Well, yeah, that's right. Really? Really? Let's read it. Let's read more. For either, this is the words of Jesus, I'm in Matthew 6, 24, either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Now, it could be something that, if that's where that verse closes, there's no more. But I didn't read the last part yet. What does that last part say? You cannot serve God and mammon, or the world, or money, or all the things of this world. You can't serve them both. It's either one or it's the other. But I tell you what, brothers and sisters, I really think that many people who claim to be Christians don't got that thing quite clear. And they want to love the world, and they want to love the money of the world, and all the wealth and the riches of this world. But they also say, I want to love Jesus too. This is the words of our Lord. Yes, indeed, it is. Jesus says, you cannot serve both. You cannot serve both. But many try, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. There again, that makes it much more clear in our desires. Involvement and what we spend doing that can much sooner cause burnout when we are so busy and desire in both rather than be more singular in one. Life before the Lord, it can cause a burnout in a lot of people. All the money and all the friendship of the world and of Christ. They love them both. I tell you what, a lot of them have a burnout because of that. Yes, indeed they do. Let's go on. Our high class lifestyle of richness we have and all the things we spend so much money on. Our work, our business, our riches. Listen to all this. We're in America talking to you people here, most of you in America. I know there's some other country people here. Houses, vehicles, clothing, furniture, household items. I'm going to go on. I'm not done yet. Hold on. Boats, guns, sports items, vacations, trips, travel, and on, we could keep numbering stuff. And I believe a lot of people don't make it in their spiritual life because there's too much attention on those areas. I've called ministers already to come and have meetings at my congregation. I'll give you just one. I won't mention his name. I said, brother, I gave him a date. Could you come and have a week of meetings at our church? It wasn't even a whole week. It was just a weekend of meetings. Well, we're going on vacation. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were going that time. No, we're going the week after that. Not that, but we better get ready. And we just really cannot go. But so thanks for calling, but we just won't be able to go this time. I thought to myself, brother, where are we at? Now, I know you can go too much. Don't get me wrong there. Yes, you can. And I know I'm not saying any of these things and all these things are wrong. We have our houses. Yes, we do. We have our vehicles. I don't know how many of them you have. And all your clothing and all the furniture and all the household items and the boats and guns and vacations. And that's one thing I never done much is go on vacation. I have a little already, but I don't really like to go. I'm going to be married for 50 years in 3 days, Saturday. And my wife wants to go somewhere. And I said, well, I don't know where to go. I don't know where to go. You see, I started a camp meeting during the summer 43 years ago. Just in July, we had that 43rd meeting. And my children and I would go there, and that was our summer's vacation. We didn't call it a vacation. It was a lot of work. But they loved it at that place. And every year, for 43 years, near Dillsburg, Pennsylvania. And we just had weekend meetings the first couple of years, but then we got into Wednesday all the way through Sunday, and we'd go up there Tuesday and leave Monday. We were there for just about a whole week. That was one of our places. Now, I've been to other places in the world. Most of the times, I will go to someone's church. And a lot of times, I will go out there, whether it be North Carolina, whether it be Washington out there, or California and Texas, down there in Texas and other places, and we were invited to preach, or we were invited to be there. So that was okay for me. And sometimes, I'm saying, we would stay an extra week or day or two, and we'd maybe take our children to a, we didn't go to the edge of the shore or some of those places and some of the way they were dressed or not dressed there at that thing. Why we just didn't hardly ever go to those places. So what do you think of that? Burned out. Now I know you can run too much, and you can be so busy that you don't even take care of the children at your home. I understand all that. Chapter 8 of the book of Luke, verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and choke with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection, if spiritually burned out. St. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. That which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares, riches, pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to Jesus Christ. That's being burned out. But Luke chapter 8, it gives four groups of people. Luke 8 is a group that became continuous. They lived through the things that the other two groups before him did not leave after. But this group did, but they still didn't make it. They didn't quite make it. I will read it over. It says, they left the cares, the riches, the pleasures of this life and care to no perfection over. Now those who out of the good family, they do make it. That fourth group does. But those who make it up there can get so closely, they can be so closely to live for God, but they become burned out. Then when pursuing being poured out in Christ's kingdom with all the above items, is why burnout can take place. I'm not saying the above list is sinful and that we shouldn't do any. Yet we do need to understand what will be the account in the judgment. Now, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, is some other words I'd like to look at. I think this is very important. Verse 19 of St. Mark chapter 6. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in earth, where neither moth nor rust nor corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but where your treasure is, there will I be also. So that treasure is very, very important. Let's look at some other area. In our poured out ministry, some other items that can cause us to become burnt out, or at least affect us, is when we have not enough of other ministers through times when our congregation is charged with their many needs and we are short with other ministers and we need more help and support. Now, there was a time in my ministry, I was the only person that was a minister in my congregation. And at the end of 1900s, we started praying. The other ministers left. I was going to go, but I decided to stay, and I began to pray, and I began to pray, and after a while, people started to come. And I mean, people came, and that church had like 200 people. Now, they didn't go near join or stay, but if we look to God, it does indeed make us a less. But when we're only one minister, and I don't know how you are, some of you might just be one person, and you might have a congregation too big, or you might have two people, or three, but you have a big enough congregation that you can hardly live up to it. And it can come to the point where you almost can burn out from your ministry because you have too many people, and you can't keep after all the people in your congregation. That can be an issue. All right, here's another one. The harvest, or church, truly is great, but the laborers are few. This can burn people out. Jesus teaches us that in both Matthew and in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 2, where we can keep track of the believers, and our people in our church can be slave, and it begins too many people, and we just can't keep after them, and we can burn out. Some people burn out. The next one. Also, when there is more than just many needs, but disunity amongst our members, this also can be a problem to bring burnout in the ministry's congregation. They can have people in their church, and the church can be divided, and there can be problems. And I've heard ministers all of a sudden get to the place where they burn out and can't make it anymore. That's not good, brothers. No, it isn't. And sometimes when we can't make it, go to another ministry and get more help to help you during that time. Psalms 133. You know what that scripture is. Psalms 133 is a chapter that we grow on each other in unity. Psalms 133. You know what that scripture is over there. It's just three little verses. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the earth, even upon Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that is descended upon the mountains of Zion, and for there our Lord commanded the blessings, even life evermore. That's very important for you ministers to keep that way towards your congregation so you do not get burned out. But I want to watch yourself something here now. You look very carefully. I don't know if you have this Bible open or not, but you ought to open and read that last verse with me. You know, when we read the Bible, sometimes it helps us to make the invitation if we just reverse it. Say, what are you talking about? Okay, take this. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. But how about if a person isn't merciful? What can happen? Are they going to make it to heaven? No. No, they aren't. It's just as true. It doesn't say that, but if you law it. So you look at the last two things in verse 3. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life, forevermore. So what that means, brethren, if we are not united and us as a ministry in our church are divided and we're against each other and things are not going right, I tell you what, the very opposite of those words is going to take place. Instead of the Lord commanding the blessing, He's going to take the blessing away. And instead of life forevermore, take the opposite. The next one. When there is disunity among us as ministers in a congregation that is sharp and very different, to work through this can cause burnout. If we're not being joined with our fellows as ministers. Now, there's no doubt about it. We don't always agree. We don't always get along. But I want to tell you, by your memory, and where you can get along and lead them. Because if you don't, and you keep making more division, and you keep getting farther and farther and farther away, there's going to be a burnout. There's going to be a problem. Yes, indeed, there will be. Here's one. It's a little different. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who are in labor in the word and doctrine. The labor is worthy of his reward. What does that mean? What is your thinking of double honor? How can I, as an elder in the church, have a double honor? That verse tells us. Number one, we are to be honored by the congregation because we are an honor. Or we are honored as a minister, maybe a deacon, maybe an elder, maybe a bishop, whatever you want to call it. The church is an honor. But what's the devil thing about? Is it because I'm been ordained? No. Well then, what is it? Double honor. Double honor, number one, is when you are ordained to be a preacher, a deacon, an elder, a bishop, whatever you are here. But if you are good in your labor, you are worth twice that. That's what it is. If you go back and read that in 1 Timothy chapter 5, you can read it there in verse 17 and 8. For we are laborers together with God, and ye are God's husband, and we are God's building. The next one. When members leave, or there is a split in our congregation that can cause a burnout. Splits among the congregation. There's lots of people doing it, unfortunately. Sometimes when new members are taken in, and later they become a problem maker, especially if there is a division among the members, there is among you envying and strife and division. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? This can be a cause for burnout in and among the ministry when that group amongst us, they just no longer get along anymore. And I'd say before we go and join somebody or before we bring somebody, make them stay a while and make them get acquainted. I mean, I can tell you, I wouldn't tell you all, people that move to other congregations, sometimes they trim far, they get all the way down there, and after they get there, then they understand, ooh, I didn't quite realize this. After they get to know that congregation, they went a time or two, and you know what happens when someone comes to visit a church? You invite them in, come on in, brother, we're glad to have you here. Yes, come to church and we're here to have you as a meeting. Well, we're sort of thinking about joining. Oh, well, come and join here. Yeah, we'd love to have you come and join our congregation. Okay, we'll do that. So we go home and we get all of our stuff and we stop renting our home or we sell our home and we go down there and after we get there and get under pressure in that congregation, ooh, we say, I didn't realize this is what I was going to face this year. I didn't know this. How am I going to do this? And that can happen a lot of times. Yes, indeed. Sometimes when there is much drift and differences or lukewarmness, this has caused burnout with some people. It says in Galatians 5:7, who has hindered you that you should not obey the truth? The next issue. When there is sharp difference between doctrine, differences, and Bible versions. There's lots of versions in the Bible these days of the Bible. And some of these places you get in, there's all kinds of different written verses of the Bible in the same church. And I don't know how they get by with that. I don't know how that can always get along. No. You know, one time I was in Chicago. I probably told you this before. And I was coming back from having a preaching meeting somewhere, and I got in Chicago to come to Harrisburg. And when I got in the seat, I went to that place where I was to sit. I went in there and sit, and there was a single girl on both sides of me. And I was in the middle. And they were very nice-looking girls. They were very decent girls. I knew these weren't real sinful or worldly kind of girl, but I didn't really know. But I fell asleep. I was so tired, I fell asleep. So after a while on the journey, I got awake, and this girl to my left was reading a Bible. Now, I want to tell you, that's something you don't often see in a cat. I mean, you can even hardly talk to anybody in a religion. And a lot of them now have these things in their ears, and they can't even talk to you. And you can't even hardly talk to people anymore because they're on their phone or their machine or whatever all it is. So I said to this girl, I says, you're a Christian? Yeah, I am in so shape. So I looked over at her, and she wasn't reading the Bible, so I talked to them girls for a while. And here these girls were coming from a funeral in Chicago, and they were coming back to Pennsylvania, and they were in a Bible school down here, and they were very plain girls. Now, they did not wear a covering, but they were some kind of holiness people. They had long, uncut hair. They did not wear pants on. They had dresses. They did not wear jewelry. They were pretty decent girls. And here she was reading the Bible, and you don't see much of that. And I commended her. I said, that's a blessing for you to read the Bible. And so I said to her, I said, what are you reading? She told me. And I said, what Bible do you have? And she told me the language. She said, it wasn't a King James Version Bible. I said, oh, I see. I said, read Matthew 13:27. Sure, I'll read Matthew 13:27. She goes to Matthew 13:27. This don't have that verse. It's not in the Bible. It goes from 26 to 28, 27, gone. It's not there. It's a very important verse. I said, didn't you know that was in there? No. I never knew that was missing. I said, okay, go to Acts chapter 7, turn to verse 36. Oh, sure. Well, that verse isn't in the Bible either. And that's a very important verse. That was Enoch who asked Philip if he's a believer, if he'd baptize him. But it's gone, and it isn't there one bit. And if you've got any kind of importance, all the time Jesus is missed, and the blood of Jesus is missed. She said, I never knew that. I said, I want to tell you something. You get a King James Version Bible. She said, I will. I didn't know it was missing these verses. I said, that's what you need to do. Now, I know some of you won't agree with me in that. But I tell you what, brothers and sisters, there is a lot of those kind of people. Indeed, there is. When there is sharp difference, doctrinal differences and different versions, it can bring about a burnout in some people. They that be no more tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. 1 Colossians 5, verse 7. Defraud ye not one another. Now here's another. When a minister, a spouse, children, family has difficulty with differences, disrespect, or disobedience, this can cause a minister to burn out. You know that? Your family. Now I'm going to say something a little slow here. And I stand for to be corrected. How many of the disciples, the preachers, and the people born again, our brother talked about those apostles of Jesus, M12, how many of their children followed the Lord? Did you ever wonder that? I mean, you don't hardly read about it, I think. Like I told you, Luke isn't married, but Peter was married because Peter had a wife. Did he know it? But how much do you read about Peter's children? Do you think he had any children? Well, if he had a son, I think they probably named him Pete, like Peter. But I tell you what you don't read about. You do not read. Were they led them to Christ? Were they taught them the Lord? And were they were with the disciples? You hardly read a thing, hardly a thing, about our children and our people knowing Jesus Christ. Now, when you get to Ephesians, when you get to Colossians, there it says to teach your children. Yes, and teach your children in the ways of God. That's very important. But I'm wrong. I could be maybe wrong. I'm thinking they thought Jesus was going to come much sooner. And when they sold out all their possessions and they laid it down and they come in, I think a lot of them people did not have their children with them. Now, you know, some of you are missionaries, know this. When you go into another country and you preach the gospel to people in that country. When my father was in Jamaica and he taught them people, you know who joined the church first? Almost always, mothers only, not the men. They weren't there. A lot of them were not converted. In fact, now, the church in Jamaica, a lot of their husbands are now getting converted. A lot of them were sinners all their life. They did not. A lot of them weren't married. Many of them were not married. He would not take them in as a member in the church. He would make the even though he was an unbeliever, the woman that was to be baptized and join the church, he'd make them get married first. And quite a few did. And you know what now? Many, many years later. And that is 49 years. A lot of them never were converted. And a lot of them older brothers now are getting converted. So they are. They are getting converted. But I think when you go to other country, and a lot of the children do not join the church, it's a lot like maybe and we are blessed to have our children. And the sermons we heard here from our brethren about living in our church and raising our children in the absence of the Lord. So when a minister's spouse, children, family has difficulty with differences, they can get burned out. The family disrespects and dishonors can cause burnout. Satan can tempt us to defraud where we are apart. Sometimes a minister's health can bring a stressful burner that can cause burnout. It can also make a mental case. Yes, it can. Some people can get mental off the track. Some people, like me, can get a lot older. You can get cancer, you can get diseases, and you can get problems. And I never thought I would be here a couple of years ago, but here I am yet. But I tell you what, that sort of can, if I'm not careful, can burn me out. I can't do as much as a lot of you brothers, and I'm thankful for you, dear young people. When a minister grows older and can make the minister's stress more difficult, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, even though it doesn't cause him burnout, yet it is more difficult. So, this word burned out, this word being poured out, has some other words. I'd like to use some other words for you here this evening. Other words, close to burnout, and that'll help us. For example, distress. That's a popular word. How many times distress in the Bible? Who can tell me? Not one time. You won't find it in here. At least I didn't find it. Maybe I didn't look right. I don't know. Maybe you can find it. The word distress is a common word amongst us today. And people that are in distress, they can get burned out. But that word's not in the Bible. But it's a very important word. It's a word that we know better in our language today. Dismayed is another word. It's in the Old Testament only, which means to break down by confusion and fear. Dismayed. Another word is oppression. Oppression is not a New Testament word, but it's an Old Testament word. It means to be distressed, and it can cause people to get burned out if they get under oppression too much. Contempt. You'll find that in Psalms chapter 123, verses 3 and 4. Contempt, not in the New Testament, and it means this. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. That can cause people to get burned out. Verse 4 says, our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud, irresponsible tyrants who disregard God's word. The opposite may also be in case many times. Instead of burned out is to be lax or negligent or slipping in our duties as ministers. I'm not so busy. I'm just going to take my time. We get distressed and we start slipping and we start getting negligent. That's the other thing. That's the other thing. Now, a few things that before we... I have some other words written down here, some other areas. One of them is this. By keeping our relationship with Christ fresh, faithful, and to be ongoing. That's very good to keep us from getting burned out. Number two, keeping your prayer list steadfast and continued in the Lord Jesus Christ. That can keep you from getting burned out. Keep very faithful in your prayer life. Continue in prayer. That's very, very important. Thank those who prayed late last night. I didn't stay for that whole service. I couldn't hardly make it. I stayed a little while, but I didn't make it. But I'm thankful for that. We need that. Reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, having the Word of truth in our heart will help us to keep from getting laid aside and burned out in our community, in our relationship with God. Maintain the power of the Holy Ghost and fire in your heart. We need that. Do you know it has been said that some people say if the Lord took the Holy Ghost off the church and out of the church and away from the people of God, 95% of the people would never know it. Now, that's not a scripture, but I tell you what. I think a lot of people don't understand their relationship to God through the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. There in Ephesians chapter, I want to say verse 5. I can't think of the verse right now there. About not being drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Over in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, it says, this is the words of Jesus, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? We need that. And we need to seek for it. And you ask God every day to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. You say, really? Yes. Acts chapter 2, He was first given to the disciples. Chapter 4, you'll see where Jesus again sent the Holy Ghost to the disciples. And we need it all the time. It's much like food. We need it. But after a while, our body gets hungry and we need the Holy Ghost again. And I believe a lot of people get burned out because they lack the power of the Holy Ghost. We need that. That's very, very important. The Holy Spirit is very important. Be faithful in your faithfulness in the church and in your family. How about, we're going to close here. How about being deceived? We talked about the other night. Remember, Jesus talked about that, but I missed a verse the other night. When Jesus talks about the coming of Jesus Christ, the first thing He always says is, take heed that no man deceive you. And I told you the other night, and I'll tell you again, that I think a lot of people do not understand deception. And they think that means other people, but not me. Because, you see, deception is when you're deceived, but you think you're right. That's what deception is. You're right. Now, you will read it in other places. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 talks about being deceived. Ephesians 5, 6. This is to Christian people. It didn't talk to the world. Ephesians 5, 6 talks about being deceived. James 1, 23 talks about being deceived. And when Jesus said to our first people that sinned in the garden, Adam and Eve, what did He say? Who took that fruit first? Was it Eve? Did Adam take any? Were they deceived? Both of them? That's right. Thank you, brother. You'll read it over there. He says, in 1 Timothy 2, verses 14 and 15, says that Eve was deceived, but not Adam. Adam was not deceived, but Eve was deceived. Now, two more things in closing, and we'll close. Immortality, I believe, burns a lot of people out. It's very much degrading. It can be repented of, and you can be redeemed, and you can make it right. But I want to tell you very strongly, many people will not confess it. But they are watching sex, and they are into it, and they are looking at the filth of Satan. I know one big church, and some of you were there. If I would tell you where it was, there was 400 and some men, and they got it printed strong to them, and 152 people confessed that they were involved with some kind of immorality and sex and pornography. Yes, pornography. And watching it. Now, I tell you, when I was young, I saw very little of it. I had to go to a discount place or a place to see the masque. We didn't have these things then. So maybe you might have it. And many people are trying to get over it. But I want to tell you what. There is a lot of problems. Yes, there is. And it can hinder a church. It can cause a problem between a man and his wife. It can cause a problem in the church. It can cause horrible problems in the church today. And I don't know if I would ask for husband or people here tonight to come to this altar. How many of you are watching stuff you should not be watching? Now, what happened is this. There was a lot of people at that place. And that man, I won't tell you his name, but I know his name, had preached it. And he made it that nobody's name would be committed. So they went and took everyone to confess that sin, that they were involved, if not looking at it, or with other people. They were wrong, they were out of order, and 152 men. But nobody was ever told who they were, and they were confessing it, and crying after the service was over. He took them down into the woods to a place. I couldn't believe it. Over a third of the men. And we're talking about plain people. We're not talking about some worldly people. Had that sin in their lives. So I don't know how many of you are into that. But I'll tell you, it is horrible. Yes, it is horrible. And it's hard to get out of. Indeed it is. And you need to let the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver you from that. The last thing yet is this. The mark of the beast. The mark of the beast. I'm going to talk about that briefly. And then I'm going to sit down. I didn't know this, but just this summer I had different people talk to me about the mark of the beast. And one brother told me, not from our congregation, he said, I can finally see what the mark of the beast, I said, what does it mean? Well, he says, it's going to become very popular. And he's telling me, that's why this virus is not determined. They're waiting to get this thing determined, and they're going to get people chipped and get them a shot and get them healed, and they'll be over it. Well, I'm going to tell you, you better watch yourself. Oh, a lot of people say, no, I don't have nothing to do with the mark of the beast. That's just another medication. They gave me a shot. I'll be fine with that. Be careful. Be careful. And here's what I want to tell you. Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, where you read about the mark of the beast. And this is what it says. They are deceived with the mark of the beast. Now, what does that mean? It means they think it's okay and it don't mean the mark of the beast, so they take her anyhow. Now, I want to tell you what, brothers and sisters, when you take the mark of the beast, you can tell me if I'm wrong, and I don't understand all the details here, but when you take the mark of the beast, you are done. You are finished. You're unforgiven. You will not ever be saved after you take the mark of the beast. So you better be careful what you're doing. They're not going to call it the mark of the beast. In fact, they're going to make people who won't take it, make it look much, much worse. In fact, one brother told me, the state of Utah, people are waiting and begging to get away from all these cards and get the mark of the beast. Now, I don't know how true that is, and I'm not saying when it's coming. Some people say that we're going to get the mark of the beast after we go to Jesus, and only those left behind that don't go to Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But brothers and sisters, I think it's a whole lot closer than what it used to be. Here's the last story. Last week, one day, I pulled in my driveway. I had seen the mailman came. I stopped my truck. I get out of my truck. I walk back to the mailbox, and I get the mail, and I looked across the street, and my neighbor was coming to his mailbox. I hadn't talked to him for quite a while. So I walked across the road, and I talked to him for a while. I asked him how he's doing. I hadn't talked to him about these aren't plain people. I just talked to him for a while about his work, and if they got sick. And I told him my wife got the disease, and she got over it now, and she had it. And I asked him about his job, and then I said this to this man. What do you think about the mark of the beast? Oh, that's coming sooner, a whole lot sooner than we realize. I said, really? Yeah, he said, the cash is going to soon leave. We are not soon going to have cash. And he says, the mark of the beast is coming soon. But I just want to tell you, dear brother, and I don't understand when it's coming and how it's coming and when and all of that. But I do know it's a deception. It's going to come by deception. That means people are going to take this thing and no, that isn't. The one man told me, oh, they will easily tell you what's the mark of the beast. So you will know when they say that, and maybe they will. I'm not saying. But I just want to tell you that to you, brother. May God bless you.